truly from the depths of our hearts we have welcomed him. We can be certain that he will do something good for us tonight, because he always comes where he's welcome. And whenever he comes on this scene, something good always happens. What a blessed privilege we have tonight to come and to assemble ourselves together in his presence. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, I want to encourage you to believe. It's a great opportunity we have to come and gather together in God's presence, to have access to his great throne of grace, knowing that he said when we would stand praying, whatsoever we ask the Father in his name, he will give it unto us. May that be inspired to us tonight, that we can appropriate what we have need of. We can grasp this opportunity as though it's the last opportunity that we have. We can come into his presence with such a objective in our hearts, determined, like the Shunammite woman when she went into the presence of the prophet. She was determined to receive what she had need of. She was believing and exercising her faith. She was confessing it. She was under expectations. As we stand here, I want you to look to him tonight, and if you have a special request upon your heart, that you just confess it in your heart as we would look to him in prayer. Confess that he's able to do that for you. He's the high priest who intercedes upon the confession of our faith. If we can confess that whatsoever we have need of tonight, he's already taken care of it. He will do it for us. Father, we thank you as we bow our hearts in your presence. With each passing day, we learn to appreciate and value this great, blessed privilege we have. But one of these days is going to be taken away from us, Lord. We long for times like these. Lord, I pray tonight that you would come and assemble ourselves in your presence. This will not just come common to us, Lord. We'll not just take it lightly, but Father, when we can sense your Holy Spirit, Lord, when we know we are gathered together with believers of like precious faith, when we know, dear God, that you, by a divine promise that you gave, and you remember your promise, Lord, and you have come in our midst tonight, and we can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit moving among us already, Lord, what it ought to do to us as believers. Oh, I pray you'd have us so sensitive tonight. And Father God, our faith can be inspired as we draw nigh unto you, Lord. Knowing you said in your word, if we draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto us. And dear God, as we come, bowing down to the dust of the earth from whence you've taken us, confessing our sins, confessing our shortcomings, confessing our mistakes, our failures, knowing, dear God, that we sin against you in thought, in word, and in deed, dear God. But knowing, dear God, you said if we are willing to confess our sins, you are just and faithful to forgive us of our sins, Father. Lord, I pray tonight, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will move across this audience. Father, you see every believing heart. You see everyone that is under anticipations. You see everyone that is with a need. Everyone, oh God, that is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They know it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord God, they are willing to confess their faith in thee, O God. And your Holy Spirit, dear God, can move in our midst tonight. Now whatsoever we have need of, even while the word is being ministered, Father, the Holy Spirit can manifest these things in the hearts of your believing children. Lord, we know without faith it is impossible to please you. And he that cometh unto you must first believe that you are, and that you are a reward of them who diligently seek you. Oh, gracious God, tonight, may we believe, Lord. May we believe with all our hearts. And Father, where faith might be lacking in the heart, I pray, dear God, that you will increase faith. Remember your disciples one time, they said, Lord, increase our faith. They recognized they had need of more faith, Lord. That man came and said, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Lord, they didn't want to pretend. They didn't want to make believe. Then, oh God, you are more than able. And Lord, you gave grace sufficient that where we were lacking, Lord, what we had need of, that need could be met tonight. Let faith rise, Father. Lord God, to such a level tonight in every heart that the thing that you have already blessed us with in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the thing that you secured and made available to us, Lord God, through your death, burial, and resurrection, the things, oh God, Father, you have given back unto us, but it seems, Lord, we need to rise a little higher to take a hold of it. I pray as faith would rise in our hearts, bring us into a higher bracket, Lord, a higher level. Oh God, these things can go to materialize in every believing heart tonight. May you grant it, Father. Truly, oh God, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the one, oh God, who have called us. And the Bible says, being confident that you who begin the work in us will perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. We come with that understanding tonight, yielding, surrendering unto you tonight, Father, that you will lead us and direct us in all that is to be said and done. And I pray these few thoughts, Lord, that you have laid upon my heart, may the Holy Spirit so anoint them, and may you break them down and make them so simple, Father, that even, Lord God, the least of us here tonight would be able to grasp and understand. May, oh God, the Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us into all truth as you promise. And Father, may these divinely revealed mystery truths literally turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. Unto this end, you sent your message, Lord, and you said your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish the purpose whereunto it was sent. So, Father, we pray, dear God, that your word would find a resting place in our hearts. We will fall in the bedding of faith, and we will bring forth after its kind. We humbly submit ourselves unto you tonight, asking that you will get honor and glory in this service, and our will be done. May, dear God, when we leave this place, there will be not one, but that will believe in you, expecting to receive something from you tonight, but will leave this place with a blessed assurance, knowing that the Holy Spirit confirmed their faith tonight. As you look and you saw that faith, Father, that unfeigned faith, may you grant it, we pray, for we ask it in the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. God, we should bless you tonight, welcome you into his house, and certainly appreciate the opportunity that we could assemble ourselves together for service tonight, and even I could come and be with you tonight and talk to you a little bit. And just don't want to preach too much, but maybe could talk to you a little bit. God, give me grace to talk to you. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to start there and then work our way from there. I try to open up some of the things I'm preaching at this time and looking at in the Word to you. And I know you have been blessed here as well, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, and we are glad for that. And last week I was speaking here, last week Tuesday, on getting the people to believe you, and you know that is a condition that must be met in the life of every believer to receive from God. God don't do magic, but God has a program, and God brings his people his provided way. And as God people learn God's ways and know how to cooperate with the word, it benefits them. Amen. It is given to them that they might, it might profit and help them. And we were reading out 1 Corinthians 12 here, which we're going to read again. And in verse 1 it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God call it Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and diversities of operations, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. And that's what we desire, because if God gives us something to profit, it means he's going to help us serve God a little better. And if God gives something to us, we want to learn how to receive it. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. May the Lord have blessed you with his word. You may have a seat. And don't put away your Bible too far from you, because I just want to read a little bit of an expanded translation here that would help you understand this text here a little better. And I'm taking this from the original Greek, and how is what it really says. When they wrote the Bible in English, if they would have to expand on every verse, the Bible might be about that thick. So they kind of just put things in a condensed form. And that is where sometimes, if we don't look into a word, we don't grasp the full meaning of what lay there on the pages before us. And we're just going to call it spiritual gifts, and or the ignorance of spiritual gifts among believers today. Paul said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And we all would like to know about spiritual gifts and things that is promised to us, things that God wants to work in our lives. But if I could ask you about gifts, I guess, you know, you might maybe put your hand up and say, well, yes, I believe in the gifts and I know about the gifts. But then we want to look into the word here and trust that God will help us. Now, I'm just going to read about from verse 4 to 11 here for you, to give a little background, because there is so much right here. As Paul says, now there are diversities of gifts. And then he speaks about differences of administrations. And then he speaks about diversities of operations. But if you notice in every verse almost, he says, but the same Spirit, but the same Spirit, but is the same God, but is the same Lord. See? The word of wisdom by the same Spirit, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, the word of faith, to another faith by the same Spirit, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So he is emphasizing here to us that though there is much diversity in all these things, yet it comes from the one and the same Spirit. And the one and the same Spirit has one objective and one motive and one mind and one purpose behind what it does. So there is a unity even though there is a diversity. See? Because it's not like one person going to take this and go off on a limb with it, and the other is going to take off and go off here with it. It all must come back and work together for the benefit of the body that God has given it to, and to edify those in whose midst God have placed these things. Now it reads like this in a more expanded translation. It says, now there are different distributions of spiritual gifts. These gifts being diverse one from another, but there is the same Spirit. And there are different distributions of various kinds of ministries, but the same Lord. We all don't have the same ministry, but we all need the Holy Spirit if it's a ministry in the body and for the body. No ministry could minister to the body and for the body, for the edifying of the body, without it being the Spirit in the person working through the ministry. And the Spirit in one person wouldn't oppose the Spirit in another person. The Spirit in one person wouldn't contradict the Spirit in another person. Is that right? So he says, now there are different distributions of various kinds of ministries. And sometimes we think about ministry and we only think about maybe 5 ministerial gifts. But everyone in the body of Christ has a ministry, because the Spirit is given to every man. Is that what it says in verse 7? Every man to profit. So that means you can't even be a real mother without the Holy Ghost. You know that? Sure. You can't be a real wife without the Holy Ghost. The reason of disturbances in the home, breakdown in families, divorces, all these different things, is because there is not the Holy Spirit present in the lives of the people. Otherwise, when the Holy Spirit is there, it's going to take them back to the Word. And when it takes them back to the Word, it's going to show them the marriage covenant is a mystery between Christ and the church. Is that right? Because God, in instituting marriage, had something in His mind. Adam and Eve was Christ in the church. How many know it says in Ephesians chapter 5? We are bone of His bone and flesh with flesh. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. This is a great mystery concerning Christ in the church. So notice, also He says, and there are different distributions of divine energy motivating these gifts in their operations. Where it says there are diversities of operations. And gifts are intended to operate a certain way so that it will work for the benefit of the people. We are commanded to discern a person's spirit, see what they're using the gift for. Is it trying to make a name for themselves? Is it trying to get popularity? Is it going after money with the gift? Is it trying to cause confusion? What are they trying to do with the gift? When you notice what a person is doing with the gift, then you can know if it is being used for the purpose it was given for. Did Balaam use his gift for the glory of God? He went after money with Balak, is that right? Did Judas use his gift for the glory of God? He didn't do it. He said, Judas have a gift. He was called, he was an apostle. He had gifts to cast out devils. He gifts of healing. He had power to heal the sick, all these things. Is that right? Sure. So we realize then that people can be gifted, but they don't necessarily use the gift for the glory of God, because if there is gifts without the virtues, without the life here, then the devil could get in there and pervert that. Did Elvis Presley have a gift? He wasn't making as much money in the church with it, but he wanted money. So what did he decide to do? Go out in the world with money. Is that right? Sure. And when he went out in the world, he made millions. And not only did he make millions of dollars, he sent millions of souls to hell too. And the prophet said, if there's an incarnate devil, is Elvis Presley. He's leading millions of souls to hell. He said, yet he was a Pentecostal boy singing in church. But look where he is today. He's a modern day Judas. What it was? Yes, discernment of spirit in a prophet. Discerning a man's gift. Who is in the Pentecostal realms? Discerning the man's spirit, how he uses his gift. Discerning where the man's gift took him, because he didn't have the Holy Spirit in his life to bring a conversion. Is that right? Sure. So, it said there are different distributions of divine energy motivating these gifts in their operation, but the same God who by His divine energy operates them all in their sphere or in everyone. Diversity of spirit operations, but the same God who worketh all in all. God have a way to operate through this person, like God operated through Brother Branham by seeing visions. See? He said, my gift is not so much to lay hands on the people. He said, oh, Robertson will lay hands on the people. My gift is to bring Jesus Christ present, to let them see He's present, because the Gentile way is to say, speak the word only. So that gift had to come back. And when it's operating, even though our Robertson, they see that Billy Graham, Tommy Osborne, they couldn't operate through, because God wasn't operating that way through them. It was a diversity of operation. In one way, you operate through Brother Bosworth one way. One way, you operate through our Roberts one way. One way, you operate through Tommy Osborne one way. But each one had thousands and thousands of people being healed. People walking Peter Sharon being healed. People taking a handkerchief of a Paul and being healed. Diversity of operations, yet the same spirit. Is that right? Yet we see Philip went down to Samaria and cast out devils, In Acts 8, and it's in 9, they never said they walk in Philip's shadow. I never said they take handkerchiefs over Philip. Yet it said they've been cast out too. So we see then that God can do things in that way. So Paul, as he lays these things out here, that we will not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, he's showing us that there are diversity of gifts. And he gives us a whole list of them. And then he says, there's differences of ministries or administrations. An evangelist do operate like a prophet. A prophet do operate like a pastor. We have a message called the way of a true prophet. Is that right? So we can know how a prophet operates. We have a message that tells us the makeup of a prophet. How he stands there with his subconscious, closes his conscious, and sees things in the unseen realm. You don't have to go to sleep to see it. Amen. And we understand because it's a different ministry. So then you have a teacher now. He said, now watch a teacher now. His approach is different. See? He takes the scriptures and he begins to, tie them together for you and so on. And he begins to polish up them nuggets and place them out there where it becomes so simple you can see it. The teaching anointing is different. The evangelist, like a fireball coming there, blast forth the message and so on, is a different ministry. Then you get somebody coming to sing now. And then they come and sing, and you have different type of people sing different ways too. Different kinds of singing. Some sing more the opera type of singing. Some sing more the soul type of singing. Then you have people in between there. And then all blesses people differently because it brings different moods and things of the spirit. Is that right? Just when you have like a funeral or so, you have this one that could sing that way and they could really soothe their hearts to the people and quieten the spirits and bring comfort. Then you have those when the church going through a time of trial and, persevering under persecution. You have some here could sing there and encourage them. And then you have some time when they have the victory, could sing them songs that make you clap your hands and dance and shake your feet and so on. You have some could sing that. You see sometimes the one who sing the slow ones try to do that. They can't do it. It's not just even the makeup. You watch that in people who write songs and you see how God deals with them because you watch the background and see what kind of spirit he gives them to do things. And so, differences of ministries. And many times, carnality comes, competition comes, because people don't understand there is different ministries and different operations. When Brother Bram had a sign in his hand, everybody's had to pray for a sign in their hand. Everybody, when he had discernment, everybody wanted to go down and pray to discern somebody too. And that was carnality, that was the spirit of impersonation, seeing something, lusting after it, and trying to get it too, because you wanted the attention the person who had it was getting. And you figure the only way to get that kind of attention too, you want to go and impersonate what they're doing too, and show up yourself that way, hoping you get it too. But that's a carnal spirit. God don't work like that. So you watch and you see then how God brings things to people. Then he talks about diversities of operations, which is diverse different workings of the Spirit. See? Diversity of ministries, which is a variety of services. God of all kinds of services that he can render. When God wants an apostle to go and do a work, but an apostle goes in there, his ministry don't just necessarily be one and two. He moves forth into a nation. But he stands there with the power of God. He has the influence. He has the magnetism to attract large crowds of people. He can stand there and operate by the Holy Spirit and deal with thousands. But Abraham had meeting 500,000 people. Could you imagine a man standing and could stand there and preach under the anointing and take charge over a whole congregation, 500,000 people, and out of that get 7 truckload of wheelchairs, 25,000 being saved, and 30,000 being saved? Some people can't witness to one person correctly without keeping the thoughts clear. They can't talk in a continuity for 10 minutes before 2 minutes they're going off here, and 2 minutes they're going off here, and next minute tap themselves and everything else. And you get a man going there preaching to 15 interpreters. And when he stand there and he doesn't look at the results he get, he's anointed for that kind of sphere. See? Then God went to evangelist. Well, he don't necessarily do the whole nation. He goes down and blasts in a city. And you watch. In the Bible, it had God send people to nations, like Moses went to the nation of Egypt. Challenge the whole nation. Let my people go. Did Satan die with Elijah? Call the whole nation to repentance. And then you get Jesus and the apostles going to this city, going to that city. You get Isaiah talking about the burden of this here and the burden of here and the burden of this place here. And they go to different cities. Like Nineveh was a city. God said, go and crowd against that city, Jonah. And even a crowd that city. The magnitude is different. So, seeing then that sometimes people not understand the calling. Again, you see things like that out there, and you ain't built for that. And you go to try to deal with that, and it's too much to deal with at one time, because your little line could only take about 150 volts. And you trying to deal with 2,000 volts. Next thing you see the whole thing burn up and spark, blow it. Next thing you end up in a madhouse somewhere, preaching with bag all over the place. You know, walking up and down the street, ringing a bell or something afterwards. Why? You try to work in a channel, you read a scripture, but never understood that God have his economy set up a certain way. It's different. And sometimes people, they miss the move of God, they miss the Holy Spirit, because the church is called to the place where they must be able to discern these things. We must be able to discern the diversity of services that God has, which is differences of administrations. We must be able to discern the diversity of operation, the different workings of the Holy Spirit. See? We must be able to see the different gifts, how they can be used, like a man with a big tool pan. Boy, you have a wrench in there, you have wheels, pan, and you have everything else. But if something happened in the car, he doesn't go to a big wrench and then fight with some of the things. He finds just the tool to use there. He might have big tools right there, and he wouldn't use them tools or jump in the pan. Hey, I have a bigger tool than him. I need the tool pan longer than him. Oh, why are you using the small tool? You know. And they miss the whole thing sometimes. Sometimes you use a greater gift, have to sit down and let God use somebody with the lesser gift sometimes. Don't you take a little finger and clean your hair sometimes? Sure. You can't use nothing else. Why? Because when the air needs ministering too, the little finger is just the right one. If the thumb goes to get vexed and want to do it, well, then the thumb tries to do it, but the thumb can't even get inside of there. And you say, see, look, you're so pushy, you're so competitive. Hold your place then on. Use the little finger. Say, praise the Lord. Everything is clean and nice. So you appreciate that, because why? It is the right service to get the job done just the way it is supposed to be done. It got to be done over 3 and 4 times. And that is where it goes beyond the gift, not it goes beyond what kind of spirit you have and what motive you have. That's where love comes in. You love God, you love God's service, you love the reason God wants to do something. Then you want to see God glorified, not for you to get attraction to yourself. It's not for you to try to make a name or establish a person in the hearts of people. That's not the objective at all. The thing is to bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And how can you do that if you don't have no relationship with Jesus Christ? Exactly. You can't give up what you don't have, and you can't bring some people into a place where you are not. Christianity is not a mimicry business, it's a reality. Now watch. And then Paul goes on and says here, but to each one there is constantly being given the clearly seen operations of the Spirit with a view to the profit of all. In other words, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. That manifestation of the profit of the Spirit is the clear working of the Spirit. That's how you say that's a manifestation of the Spirit. Because why? You see the characteristic of the Spirit. It's clear to you. It's not an impersonation you're watching. It's not a devil with a line wonder. It's not a mimicry you're watching at. You're watching at a clear operation of the Holy Spirit that you can lay your life upon it, because you can go back in the Bible and show the same unchanging God work the same way in the same kind of situation. And that is where you get confidence, and that's where you should get anchored, that when you see something happening around you, you can go back in the Bible and see it, and you know it is the same God. To know it's the same God working by the same Spirit in the same way, he's unchanging, and then you can have confidence that word will never pass away. So then he goes on to say, 4:1, through the intermediate agency of the Spirit, a word of wisdom is given, to another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. And I mentioned to you last week, healing is always in the plural, gifts. All the rest is singular, but healing is in the plural because God have diverse ways and means of bringing healing. One time Moses raised up a brass serpent, people was healed. One time David plays harp, people was healed. One time Elisha tell a man go and dip 7 times in Jordan, people was healed. One time he take a handkerchief of a poor, people was healed. One time they walk in the bush shadow, people was healed. One time the prophet hold them by the hand and detect diseases, people was healed. One time he see a vision and tell people, people was healed. God had, one time they walk in a pool with water and they was healed. God had so many different ways to bring healing. God healed by a kind word. God healed by music. God healed by all these things. Now, don't you realize where the church ought to be? We don't have to just try to pull healing to one channel. When we have a God who has shown healing so many multitude of ways to convince us that he is a healer, he heals us of all our diseases, he can come to us through many different ways. You know one time Isaiah made a poultice and put it in Hezekiah and he was healed of the boil? Sure, God healed that way too. One time Asa trusted in the physician, relied on the physician and wouldn't trust in God and died with sick feet. Is that right? We have in the Bible. In the Old Testament. So it's not New Testament things, it's in the Old Testament. And that's why you look there and you see healing. So many types, so many forms, so many ways, so many mediums that God brings healing through. How people ought to believe for healing. That's why it's a minor. That's a little thing. We make healing so big sometimes, boy, we flustered with, I know what we're doing. Like we're dead and this will kill me and I'm going to a fight and I ain't know I'm going to heal me. That's a minor. That's just to get people to a place where they can recognize the presence of God, know that God lives so their soul can be converted. Because every time healing was used, the Bible really was to bring people to a conversion. Though many of them only took the bodily healing and went away. But because why? In the soul had nothing to quicken. But wherever there was representation, they came back and they worshiped the Lord. They followed him. Amen. Why? Healing is an earnest of the resurrection. So when a person is being healed, if they walk away and don't serve God after, you know it has no representation there. But if a person, when they get healed, and they see that, they know God is a creator. Only God could build new cells. Is that right? Then they see healing take place in the body. They know there's going to be a resurrection. There's an immortal body coming. Because healing testifies of it. Exactly right. So then how it brings people to a genuine conversion. Then Paul goes on now. He says, after healing, say, and to another the working of miracles. And to another giving forth of divine revelation, like miracles. We saw some last week how Elijah did miracles, Moses did miracles. He turned his rod to a serpent. See his hands into leprosy, that was miracles. You bring flies, bring fleas, turn the water into blood. Jesus turned the water into wine. Miracles. See, multiply the bread and fishes. Miracles. But God didn't just do miracles for soul. Whenever God is doing miracles in Egypt, there was to give a witness that Jehovah was God above the Egyptian God, was to bring deliverance to his people and judge that evil nation who enslaved his people. When God was multiplying the burden of faith, was to meet the needs among the people to have confidence that they don't have to compromise in the word and work over time and do this and lie on the job and all kind of different things. They see they have a God who can multiply and supply every need. That's why John could preach, be content with your wages. Sure. Why? In a time he can have, and Jesus could preach, be not anxious what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. And then multiply the bread with the wine, heal the sick body. Any place they have to spend money and be distressed or anything, he was showing the anointed word had what it takes to meet the need. If they will know how to cooperate with that word, they can have the benefits of being identified with that word. Then should we just leave it on the shelf after we see what the word can do for us? Should we just treat it lightly when we see the reason why it is sent to us? And what lays in the word? Oh my. It should make us want to know, Lord, teach me your word. Show me how to cooperate. Look what your word has in it, Lord. Look what it can do for me. I don't have to have no fear. I don't have to have no doubt. I don't have to live in uncertainty. I can walk in a world of perfect faith
I might be a mystic to the neighbor, might be a mystic to somebody in the job, but I'll be right there in contact with you, amen. Rivers of virtue flowing out. Walking there in the presence of God, recognizing my position as a believer. Oh my, what that will do to a person who sees that. Now, let me tell you, you cannot sit here tonight with representation in your heart and close up yourself and let a word pass you if you're a believer. It's impossible. Something inside of you will want to rise out from where you are to be what that word is saying, because that word has come to bring you to become the very word. And when you see that word is Almighty God being revealed, amen. But it brings you under the headship of the word. You cast down your reason, you pull down your imagination, and you bring your thought subject to the word, because you say, God, I see you. I see you in the word. That's not a man talk, that's a Bible. Amen. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Is that right? Not a fable, not some historical something, the word. When the Spirit is quickening the word and making it plain to you, to show you the reality of the word. Amen. Not some intellectual conception, something to give you master over every circumstance that you face. That's what the word is about. See? We want to operate in the supernatural. But let's look at the supernatural here. You don't see all kind of... You see laws and principles here, friend. You see a reverence of the scripture. You see how to take the word and use the word with faith. Wait until them seven thunders utter his voice out of the group. Who can take the word and hand it there? It will slice and cut. They have the key. They can lock and unlock. They can open up the door because they hold the key in their hand. You have a key and you walk into your door. They're walking through this whole door and kick down the door. And there's next someone to climb through the window and say, I can't go to the window self. And no. You walk up there, pull a bunch of keys, and you open the door. Why? Have to open, because you know that key was made to open that door. Amen. Glory. That's where the believer, when you get focused and you learn how to take the word and use the word, you watch devils scatter then. Amen. You see, Satan got a battle against that word, you know. You preach that word, you see people sit down there and they watch this and they watch that way. You leave them in the nonsense. They can't deal with that word. That word will bind that devil in a knot. Sure. When that word comes for that devil, tremble. Have to tremble. Because the word is God speaking through that word. Don't leave no room for imagination. It's either God or it's not God. Amen. And when it's God, you're walking the word. Amen. Yes, sir. Now watch. Then after working the miracles, to another, the giving forth of divine revelations, which is prophecy. Prophecy is bringing forth revelation. Not just a doctrine we're talking about. Prophecy is going to come and say, that a woman is going to come in here tonight wearing a black dress. See, she stole from the bank where she works. And, you know, she's coming here tonight and she has planned to go overseas. He said, but tell her if she don't repent and carry that money back that she stole, she will fall dead and she will never get to that airport. When that comes forth, you see, that's prophecy. But when a revelation like that comes forth, then Paul, after prophecy, the next thing he brought is discerning of spirits. And discerning of spirits is, and to another, the correct evaluation of these individuals who give forth divine revelations. When somebody bring a prophecy, it has to be judged. How do you judge it? By one who have discernment of spirit. How do they try the spirits? By the word. Only one way to try the spirit. If they don't speak according to the law and the prophets, they have no light in them. Is that right? Satan could impersonate any gift, but he can't bring that word by word. That is why he was a liar from the beginning. He must inject his ideas somewhere along the line and the wicked of the world. He must inject his own spirit inside of there and use it for his own selfish means and wouldn't glorify Jesus Christ. But when the Holy Ghost has come, he'll bring back what I said unto remembrance. He will show you things to come. He'll teach you all things, right? That's how you know the Holy Ghost. He will take of mine and shall show unto you. So when you know what the Holy Ghost is, then you will know the other spirit too. You can try it.
See? Exactly right. And discerning a spirit, let's say you're walking around there and say, somebody have a backache. That's not discerning a spirit. That's somebody trying to operate a gift of knowledge. But they don't even understand what it is, so they're mimicking it. But discernment is spirit. It takes wisdom to judge it. It takes knowledge to judge it. Exactly right. Then the next one was what? After discernment of spirits, he said various kinds of tongues. To another, various kinds of languages, and to another, the interpretation of languages. But all these, the one and same spirit is by divine energy put it into operation, dividing to everyone separately as he desires. So I read that for you, that you can see then that how Paul, in laying these things out there, his whole purpose is not so much to list all the gifts of the Spirit, because there are many other gifts of the Spirit that he didn't put here. Because there's a gift of giving over in Romans 12. He emphasizes different gifts. We will not have time to take it up tonight, but you could read it when you go home. From about 3 to 11 somewhere there, you would see. He didn't mention miracles. He didn't mention healing in Romans 12. Because he mentioned more gifts like giving and serving. Because you see, sometimes those little gifts, they do attract people. So they don't try to desire those gifts or pray for those gifts. They like the gifts that attract attention to the person. They like the gifts that give them influence over people. So you find then Paul is saying now, later on in 1 Corinthians 12, here, he says, nay, much more these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. And he's talking about comely parts and uncomely parts. He's talking about members in the body which seem to be feeble. You ever look in the church and see one or two people in the church and look kind of feeble? You can't say they're being used in a way like the minister, they're being used in a way like the deacon, they're being used in a way like somebody who's singing and playing an instrument or something. But Paul is saying, he said, now don't you go to categorizing and then despise that person, because they are just as necessary as your little fingers necessary to your body. And it might look uncomely, but they're important, because they're giving, they're serving, they're helping, they're doing something. And sometimes the body benefits far greater by somebody doing that and somebody jumping up and speaking in tongues and not saying nothing to edify the church, only edifying yourself. And then here is somebody like Dorcas sewing the clothes, help this sister here, sew this here, help this little child over here, do this over here, like Martha, bake here, give a little dinner, help all the family here, somebody have the car, they take the here and they run some errands to do something over here and so on. And Paul is saying, he said, that is a gift too. Because he said, do I give all my goods to feed the poor and don't have love? Yeah, giving is a gift too. Do I have knowledge to all mysteries? See, knowledge and wisdom and understanding, I can divide the world and lay it out and everything else, and they have no love and nothing. And do I have faith to move mountains, faith operating to me? And do I have prophecy and revealing things? But then what happened? Like Balaam, bring a correct prophecy and then go after money. Like Caiaphas, bring a prophecy and deny the word. It don't do nothing. See? So then Paul is balancing up this thing here as he teaches the people to make sure that simple and humble acts of service is not overlooked at all. Well, sometimes people only have the eye to see something that looks spiritual in a way that attracts attention. But they don't see that person whose right hand is given and the left hand don't know. See? Remember Jesus when he passed? He said, look at that woman there. She gave more than all of them. Is that right? He noticed that. Look at Hattie Wright. How much people do all kinds of things and manifest all kinds of gifts and then rejected the mess of the hour. Look at Hattie Wright sitting there, giving to the building fund and receiving the salvation of her two boys. Something eternal. When she's going to get $1 million? She didn't even want $1 million. That never even moved the woman. Is that right? Glory. Oh, what does that ought to do to you? When you sit down and you watch that. And you say, Lord, what is desire my heart? What is my soul thirsting for? What am I pulling for? What do I want in my life?
How am I using what you already give me? I want more gifts from you, and I am using what you give me already for the benefit. You give me a lot of extra time, I ain't using the time for your service. You give me extra money, I ain't using it to help nobody. You give me some little skills that can do something to help somebody. I'm selfish, and unless they pay me to do it, I ain't doing it. I use my gift for commercial. You know what I'm saying? Sure. And then he's still praying, and Lord, the third power and the spoken word, Jesus, and you promised the second cycle. God says, shut your mouth. You ain't ready for nothing yet. Amen. Exactly right. What God wants? God wants to bring us to the place where we can be so in love with God that will make us love one another. Because by this love shall all men know you are my disciples when you love one another. And if God gives me something, it's for the edification of the body. And I want to use it to assist the body and help the body, because my love for his children is to see his children coming to the place where they're going to be ready for his coming. Where every influence I have, I can use it for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. Don't you think that's right? You really believe that's right? Sure it is. You see, as a prophet, there could be a lot of shaking down for me, there could be a lot of shaking down for you, but together we'll make it by the grace of God. He said, the stone, the diamond have all the fire in it, but it can't reflect not one thing unless it's cut. Take a sharp tool, you have to take a diamond to cut the diamond, you know that? Sure. Then it can reflect the fire. Then you see the glory begin to come out of it. All the rays of the spirit, spiritual working, spiritual operation, taking place in people's lives, the Holy Spirit moving in everything that they do, it reflecting God. Oh, you say, but it's wonderful, whether it's in church while we're here for 2 hours, or whether it's in your home, whether it's in your job, because God doesn't want you to use what you have for the benefit of one another alone. He wants to give a witness to the public too. So out in your job, they get a taste of it, and they could get thirsty because you're salty. They could get light because God liked you and put you on a lampstand. Out in your home, in the community, somebody see you out there too. See? And God have your life ordered like that, so different ones can partake of you. Amen. And they can taste of the Lord and know that he is gracious. They can see the reality of God. Do you want more of God tonight? You desire more of the Holy Spirit in your life? Amen. You just open up to it. Just open up. Watch and see what the word does. And Paul emphasizes, you know, all these gifts of helping and serving, and shows the importance of the uncomely parts and the feeble, the ones that look feeble. Because the ones that work in miracles and wisdom and, you know, they have power gifts and they have revelation gifts and they're bringing out things. And then some boy, when they lay their hand on the sick, so boy, they tremble under the power of God, and they, you know, see them raise up out of a sick bed or something. And then some pastors say, well, I could bake a good bread. And somebody feel, well, that ain't nothing. Let me tell you, that God take that little boy 5 loaves of bread. Let me tell you, feed 5,000 with it. Amen. And God might have never take somebody, give and bless 5,000. You know what I'm saying? So you see, remember, it's in the sovereignty of God. And God is revealing what? Simplicity. And he hides in humility. Exactly. My. Now, I was telling you last week that as we look at these gifts, there are different categories of these gifts, because there are revelation gifts that reveal something like wisdom, knowledge, discernment, prophecy. All these reveal something. See? By discernment, God can make something known. Sure. By prophecy, God can reveal something. Right. By word of knowledge, God can come down and reveal something. By wisdom, God can reveal something. Sure. Then you have, after wisdom, knowledge, then you have what? Faith. And faith, wisdom and knowledge, it like gives that bring out teaching. Opens up the word. Inspires things to you. Put your faith in the scripture. Then out of faith comes what? Healing, miracles, and different things. Because it can't be done without faith. Faith to move mountains, miracles. See? How Jesus did miracles? By faith. So you see, you have that gift of faith that God gives to you to give you a ministry. If God gives you a ministry, you're gonna have faith. You see, it's not like, well, I have speaking in tongues, but I have no faith and no wisdom. It will always bring shame on the name of the Lord. You wouldn't know when to use it. You wouldn't know how to use it. You wouldn't know where it should be used. You wouldn't know according to the word how it should operate, which ministry it's supposed to go together with. You wouldn't know. So you just can't go on that one thing. See? A man of knowledge, and he has no wisdom to use his knowledge. He'll confuse people. He needs wisdom to rightly divide his knowledge. Later, probably apply it correctly. Knowledge is not access to information. Whether it comes from a supernatural source or not. And God give it to you. See? And then we find out you can have all these things and still even have the life behind it. And then what's going to happen? It still lead to your own destruction. Didn't Moses could have bring water from the rock? Smite it? Right? And he glorifies him before the people, and God say, you're not going in because of that. Elisha with power, smite them, a curse on them for them 42 children, two she-bears eat them up. That wasn't the spirit of Christ, that was an angered prophet. Look at Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. When they were piercing him, humiliating him. Look at Stephen when they were stoning him. Father, let them sin against the charge. All they tell him, call him bald-headed, and he get vexed and smite them. See? Oh. So when you look and you see, friend, you got to realize that these gifts, then your prophecy, tongues, interpretation, that is gifts. As I told you, that is the one that goes in the room. Because they bring message to the church. You don't put a gift of miracles in the church, in the room, and say, I'm going to judge it. The prophet said, put the gifts in the church. They put a gift of miracle, they put a gift of faith, they put a gift of healing inside here, and the same inside here. So what a miracle, go get on one another. You understand what I mean? See, that's why we need teaching them these things. See, that's why we need teaching these things, because if we don't teach them these things, then we have imagination. And then when the spirit starts to move, we don't know what the spirit wants to do because we don't know the word. And the spirit is coming to fulfill the word. Spirit is going to use you to fulfill his word. He's going to use you to fulfill his word the way he lays his word out. And if you are not taught in his word, what are you going to do? You're going to find yourself resisting. You want to carry the spirit one way, or carry the spirit this way, or carry the spirit that way. And you'll be choking the Holy Spirit and grieving him away. Because why? You are working through maybe a tradition or an idea or influence or some false manifestation. But when you know the word, see, when the spirit comes and begin to anoint you, to do something, even you can judge the very spirit that is anointing you by seeing what it wants you to do. Isn't that right? Sure, exactly. So, I want to read a nice little quote here for you. A message called Image of the Beast. Question and Answers on the Image of the Beast is in Conor Fordham Doctrine. And Brother Bram is saying here, he said, listen, my children, those gifts are wonderful. Nobody knows how I appreciate and I love you with godly love. But those gifts can be a harm to you if you don't know how to use them in the right place. And now what it is, those gifts are in the world. They are in the church now. The gifts are in the church, out in the poor, but the poor little children got those gifts and don't have the teaching to know how to control it. He said it's there among the people, but they don't have the teaching to know how to control it. He says, if you miscontrol it, you'll do more damage than you will do good, see? But you can't speak in tongues unless you have the gift of tongues. And you are no doubt at all about what, there's many gifts of that in this church now. There's many gifts of it over here in the Methodist church. There's many of it over here in the Baptist church. If it is only preach, so the gift could go to operating. How healing does take place? You preach it. Create an atmosphere for healing. People be taught how to approach God. People see the basis upon which healing was secured. People see the finished work. People see not a hocus pocus. People see the faith in what he's done in Calvary. Even though he come here in the same suit of clothes, he can't do it for you. He can only show you and confirm to you he's present and his word is true. And then you take that word and you walk into it. If you're going to get salvation, how are you going to get salvation? If a man can preach a Methodist doctrine to me, could that save you? Man have to take the word and bring the plan of salvation to you. Show you where you're a sinner. Show you where you need a savior. Show you where God provides a savior. Show you where the savior come. Show you the basis upon which you approach God. Identify the sacrifice. Confess your sins. The blood be applied to you. The sin be remitted. You stand justified. Then you can come into it. Cornelius had an angel appear to them. They knew about fasting. They knew about praying. They had a supernatural experience with an angel. Yet they had no salvation. That doesn't bring no salvation. You know what the angel say? Go and send for Peter. Bring the man up here. He's going to start to take the scriptures. He's going to start to take the word. He know the plan. He could speak the plan. He could lay the plan out. And while Peter yet spake these words, they was believing. Their mind was set in the channel. They saw the light. Is that right? The Ethiopian eunuch wrestled with the scriptures. Oh, he was a learned man. He was a believer. He went on worship. He was in the church. Every year, around the feast time, go among the priest and them. He's a great celebrity from a foreign country. He's given special privilege. He's reading the scriptures. He loved the word. And he's wrestling with it. And then the Holy Spirit, knowing that if that man to be saved, you have to get a channel, somebody who knows the plan of salvation. Is that right? Holy Spirit, pick up Philip, make him leave a whole revival. Transport him. Put him right where the man was passing. And say, understandest what thou readest? He said, how can I accept a man don't show me? Big man like that had no pride. Big man like that. They say, you have a PhD? You're ordained? What Bible school you went to? You're a Levite? Amen. In the priesthood? But that man say, how can I accept a man don't show me? Amen. But we don't know a thing sometimes. We stuck up our neck there. We walk in power like we know something. Never even had a real experience with God can go back in his Bible yet. Can't even live the life yet. I want to walk like we know something. The way up is down. Is that right? The way up is down. But I'm talking about the man who was in the back there. He says, you know, boy, he was going to preach. He said they were going to invite him to preach, and then they didn't invite him no more. And they bring this other man here. He said, this man comes and he comes with the old bag of notes and everything else, and he go up there, and boy, he walk up there, and he's going to take charge of the meeting, boy. He was going really late out. When he get up there, he's fumbly, confused, he couldn't do a thing. And get back all ashamed of himself, mess the people up. So the old patriarch, the old saint in the back there, just stick his friend in the ribs. He say if he had gone up the way he come down, he'd have come down the way he went up. Amen. He'd have come down the way he went up. Is it God nice or this hullabaloo? God people is real people. Amen. God people is sweet people that love God. Can worship God. You see people tithing past. That ain't God. That's of the devil. Amen. God people is free people. Amen. They love God. They can worship God. They believe in the Bible. They believe the word straight. Amen. Not no old wise fables and no confusion. The word brings faith. Amen. Philip went there, took the scripture, began to speak to the man. The man saw the plan of salvation. Look, there is water. What hindered me of being baptized? Healing, salvation, whatever it is, any gift. You see, and the reason these things don't happen, it needs to be taught. If you say, Saints, we want the gifts, we have to get the gifts. And then we say, we're going to have a meeting to get the gifts. And we all get down there, we have lots of the gifts, lots of the gifts. That's not how this comes. The Holy Spirit is here to do that in his sovereignty. But we have to know how he does it. How he used it before. Who he used it on? What was the situation existed when he used that particular tool? Because you have a lot of tools. It's not one or two tools God has. It's not nine tools God has. God has so many different types of tools. You say, well, God wants to heal me, but maybe I'm going to walk over there and lay my hand on that brother. Suppose God wants to heal my music. Suppose God wants to heal my word being preached. Is that right? Sure. But we wouldn't get no glory because we didn't get to lay our hand. But when we lay our hand, that Brother Bram just say, the people used to wait for Brother Bram to come and touch him. He said, get the pastor, and touch him. He said, people, that spirit in people, sometimes they can't give respect to the ministry they're under many times. They wait for somebody outside to come and they're running for line and they can't get something. Apostolic orders. You sick or something, call the elders of your church. Let them anoint you with oil, and their prayer of faith shall raise you up. That's the Bible. Amen. Is that right? You have to respect them right there. I labor among you. Esteem them highly. Obey them. Then God going to bless you. When God see you running here and running here and window shopping out and window shopping over here and trying to pull from somewhere and God put you on the ministry to get the word, you ain't going to get nothing from God. Why? Because you ain't starting with respect. You ain't starting with reverence. You ain't starting with humility. You're trying to study shame and pride, and I don't know about my business, and I want to do this. And you're using deviation, and you're using escape methods, and you're using secret agent business. How you get healed with that? You see the Shulamite woman like that? But she went up in the open. She said, this man here has passed by my door. This man is telling me about this child here. This man is telling me these things here. But they had confidence. Look at Martha. Yeah, Lord. Is that right? Even now, whatever you ask. Exactly right. What's the Bible say? Let me tell you, there is something when you stand in the Word, when you take the Word into your heart. You take the Word into a heart of faith, and you watch and see what it does to you. You walk in the presence of God. You don't just wait until you go to pray to feel the presence of God. You walk in the presence of God. You live in the presence of God. You stay in communion with the presence of God. You are a candidate for the supernatural. Associate with the unseen world. Conscious that the angels of God encamp round about you. Your conversation in heaven, going, your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your words on earth. Right. You know, the Holy Ghost can only come to a holy life. Exactly right. Oh, my. I love him, don't you? Isn't he wonderful? Oh, my. When you think about his goodness. Amen. He is so gracious. Let me read Almore's quote here. It's going very nice. So he says, the gifts are in the church, but the poor little children got those gifts and don't have the teaching to control it. He said, there's many gifts over in the Methodist, Baptist, church. It was only preach, so the gift could go to operating. See, when the word begin to preach, you see this for now. You see how God can work it. You see how you need to cooperate with the word. You see how God wants to bring these things to edify his people. You see how it is to glorify God. It is not something personal. See? And when you begin to see those things, then it puts you in the channel where God can drop in there now. Because why? You know you have to teach now. The word is in the control tower. When the Spirit come upon that word, then it's going to start to operate that word through you. He said, if you put seed in the ground and don't cultivate it, what's going to happen to it? See? It will lay there in the dry dust and rot. It will do no good. These gifts have been in the church all along. But just now the water begin to fall. This Pentecostal rain to water it and bring forth fruit. No, he says, now use it in the right place. Now, could you imagine? He said, and you people who got the Holy Ghost and call out in the offices, teachers and so on. Now, could you imagine? Here's me standing here trying to teach. And here's a man jump up on the side of me and started teaching right at the same time. Another man standing out there singing a jubilee song. Could you imagine? He said, what a confusion. If I come here trying to teach something and I explain this here, another man goes here, and he's going, yeah, in the last days, and the Lord says something, I'm going to Simon Gomorrah, and the prophet in the back of the tent, and the next man says, oh, here about Lutando, Lake. And he said, what's happening inside the service? What's going on? If this man come in song service and sing that, and when I bring my message, and Sunday the other brother come and bring his message, it could be in order. Everybody at the time and the place, and everybody could be edified and benefit from everything. Is that right? Sure it is. But when you see this kind of business, you know it. God is more than that. God is not an office boy, you know, some vagrant dribbling on himself or outside there, drunk, you know what's going on. God is the most intelligent being there is. God is the most divine thing that there ever is. He's the only divine thing. Has everything under his control. He got the whole world in his hands. Amen. And he spoke a word and put the galaxies in place. Set them in the orbit. That is the God that wants to come inside of you and live his word and manifest his abilities and do things. That God, that same person, not another person. And when he comes in, you don't change behavior. He behaves his behavior through you. Exactly right. Oh, my. I just love it.
Hope you love it with me tonight. Amen. Just a little teaching here. Just trying to. You know, Brother Bram says, he tries to work on the ranch. And I know this by experience, because we used to be on the estate there, a little boy growing up. We had the dairy and the big, all the mules and everything up there, and horses and the sugar estate. He said, and when we were doing ranching, he said, we get a cattle sometimes. He said, they buy this cattle, the owner pay a purchasing price. He buy the cattle they purchase possession, pay the price for it. It belongs to him. But you have to seal it. You have to put his name, his brand upon it. So you see, something they tie it down real good, and they take that hot iron, and they burn that into that flesh, and they put that brand inside of there. He said, when they let go of that cattle, he said, boy, that thing is, oh, it running and bawling and squealing and hollering and kicking and everything else. He said, but in the end, it know who it belonged to. In the end, it know who it belonged to. Because it burned inside of the air. Amen. When God brand you with the word, when he put that seal upon you and burn it into your soul, you know who you belong to then. You ain't gonna be sealed and then walking around and one day and this and one day that. No, sir. You know you're a son of God. You walk like a son. You know you're a daughter of God. You walk like a daughter of God. Amen. You act like God. You live like God. You speak like God. Amen. My, I'm never gonna get to where I want to get to. Let me try. I'm just enjoying myself here, so I'm going to take my time. Amen. Just cut it off when it needs to cut off. But I want to go somewhere, but that's very nice. It could be nicer than this, but I want to be patient. It's not just trying to bring nice things. It's trying to follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he says, you know, question and answers on the image of the beast. And he says, God, let me have a revival here some of these days. Where we can get into them things, you see. Where you can see it's a gift, and that gift wants to operate all the time. But you've got to have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit here to know how to operate that gift. And he said, I want to get in, and that's what I'm doing. I'm taking these messages here. I'm doing it in the church up there, and I'm doing it here on the Tuesdays when I come. To bring some teaching here to show you on this, what it is. Because when God uses you, you don't want to struggle in your energies of the flesh. You want the Holy Spirit about you, through you. Whether it's love, whether it's a kind of word in season, whether it's a prophecy, whether it's an exhortation. Is that right? Exhortations too. That's a gift too. Bring exhortation. Give words of comfort. Somebody going through a trial. You go down there and you talk all kind of thing and you depress the person more. You walk in and say, hey, brother, remember that time when, you know, Job was laying there. All the critics around him, but he stood flat-footed because he knew God was faithful. He had a challenge, he was waiting for inspiration or something. The person that get built up, the mind started getting the challenge, the faith started getting anointed. He said, oh, brother, come again. Sister, come again. Then he say, sometimes you go into your trial and come say, hey, if you know what happened. Somebody come with some gossip spirit, and they pour that on you. You imagine somebody take the pour and empty the pour on your nice rose plant? See? And some people have let people come around them with that nonsense. Say, wait, my air is a garbage dump for your filth? Get away from me with that. Until you can't come here with something decent and talk about the word and defy people, move from here, quick. Hustle out of here. Exactly right, you need to be at the altar praying. Exactly right. You work with the rubbish truck, you pass and pick up everybody's rubbish, and then you come at me. Are you Labas? Well, I have fire here to deal with that rubbish. Amen. When you come on me, come with a word of edification. Come with a psalm. Come with a song. Come with something to cheer me up. Come with something that we can pray together. We can open the word and read a little bit and talk about the things of the Lord, like the men on the road to Emmaus. When they were talking together, what happened? Jesus came. Is that right? When do people get talking gossip, witness come there? The devil has come there. That kind of talk is bring that kind of spirit. This kind of talk is bring this kind of spirit. Amen. Sure. So when people throw in corn outside, they'll fall out there. So then you say, well, here now, you see all our ways you throw in here? It's not a vulture wrong here. This dove, come with seed. Come with nice seed from the world here. They'll bring all this old dead business around here. No, sir, we don't want that. Sure. Let me tell you, don't give no place to them things. If you want to see God move among you, if you want to see God move in your home, if you want to see God move in life. Amen. But I stand here, and the other ministers stand here, to shoo every buzzard away from around here.
Exactly right.
It's welcome for any spirit that want to come to the world. It's welcome for anybody that want to come and worship God in spirit and truth and support this work and be part of this work. There's no place for all kind of liars and all kind of schemers and different things. There's no place for that here. Abraham was keeping that sacrifice clean. Why? The sun was going down. Hell was coming on the earth. He was looking for the pillar of fire to come through and confirm the sacrifice. Is that right? And you watch me if I won't do that here as long as I stay here.
Exactly right. Glory. Oh, I feel that going in, man. Yes, sir.
I'm looking for a strong church, a real church. Holy Ghost-filled church. You think we can have that in this hour? You think I promise? Bible said without spot and without wrinkle. And you know what? You know what Jude said? These are spots in your love feast. So the church without spot, God get his spots out.
Sure.
Paul said, either you get justified, sanctified, get the Holy Ghost coming to your brother, or you have problems.
Because, brother, I tell you, you know, you have so much of that going on, but after people come to church, get probably poison, asses, go through it, you have to have discernment of spirit.
I'm teaching that right now up in Abel country, discernment of spirit. Try the spirit. How are you going to do it? Watch what comes out of the mouth. You're going to know it by what comes out of the mouth.
You stand for the word, God stand for you.
You try to please God, God back you up. You try to stand for righteousness, God honor you. Amen.
Sure. So many of us have needs. We have all kind of needs that, brother, if you go to prayer and you have to come by the virtue of praying, we have to pray for 1,000 years. If you're going to come by the virtue of any other act we can do, it will take thousands of years. But if we can just try to lay our life on the altar and offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, and surrender ourselves to God and try to obey the word that God gives to us, when love projects, and it can't go no more, sovereign grace will come down and take it over. God will make up for where we lack. Amen. What Moses lacked, the pillar of fire supplied. But when you can't make a stand for the word sometimes, and you have to compromise this and you have to compromise that, then God can't do the compromising. Amen. But I'm saying, never see a drunk superman. Never see a man going east somewhere. You can't see a black white bird. It don't happen. What we need is courage. What we need is courage. And you don't have to be obnoxious about it. You can be firm and friendly. God bless you. But that isn't welcome around here. And I hope you get the message loud and clear. And right now, I have some work to do. And you are disturbing me from doing my work. When you want to come over and fellowship, call me and ask me if it's available. Because I don't know if you have nothing to do at your place. We have a lot of things to do over here. You don't have to be obnoxious. You could talk to people nice and friendly and get your point over. Let them know where you stand. And you're open for fellowship? When you have a fellowship?
And we fellowship along the world. Sure. So anyway, when you go to throw all kind of things inside the basket, get a nest full of rock next, the prophet say. If they have not been with the mate, you could turn it over how much you want. You say, warm it up, dance up on it, sweeten it up, everything. It'll be a bunch of rattlesnakes if you have not been with the male bird. Let's move on a little bit here. I want to change, right? Make a change right here. Let's go to Daniel 1 because we speak about wisdom here tonight. That first gift, the most important one, the great one, the one at the head of the list. And I want to show you how it operates. We all need wisdom tonight, and may God give to us the wisdom that we have need of. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who give it to all men liberally. I believe that tonight. You see, these are gifts you can pray for. These are things you can pray for. You can't pray for the 5 ministerial gifts. That is by election, sovereignly set in the church. See? But the others you can pray for. You can't pray to become a pastor because that's your thing. You can't pray to become a prophet. That's foreordained before you was even in your mother's womb. When you die, you still is that on the other side, like Samuel, like Moses. Still a prophet. Still in that office.
But these other gifts, they move from one to the next. It might be on you today, might be on somebody tomorrow, might be on somebody the next day, and might be never on you for the rest of your life. It just keep moving. It is for the body, and any member in the body is subject to it. And if you've been faithful and you please God and you yield to the Holy Spirit and you let God be glorified, God can use you over and over again. Because he does that. So let's read some scripture here and catch a nice something here that can really edify us and help us. And we're going to take from about verse 3. We're going to start right here in Daniel 1. And we're just going to strike two characters, and leave it at that. Because time is about up, I don't want to keep you long. Verse 3. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs. This is Nebuchadnezzar speaking unto the master of his eunuchs concerning these captives, which Daniel and them was part of them, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, youths or children in whom was no blemish and well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning, or a better word, yeah, more perfect word, is gifted, and gifted in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. You see, war changes the world. And whenever one nation captured the other nation, they used to extend the influence of the kingdom to the captives. Like when Babylon conquered the world, that's what it did. Then Medes and the Persians conquered the world, that's what it did. Then Greece conquered the world, that's what it did. The language, the sciences, the mathematics, the architecture, everything. And so they kept going on. And we too have been conquered. Jesus Christ, by love, conquered us. And he changed our way of speech. He changed our way of dressing. He changed our motive and objectives. And he bring us into the way of the people of his kingdom also. Before we had a different kind of speech. We used to have all kind of different words inside our speech. We used to talk in tongues outside here too. See, uninspired tongues. See how obscene language, eh? And then outside here, people, they dress all kind of immoral dress. See, vulgar, care about yourself, you know, dance, got all kind of worldly music. But then what happened? When he conquered us by love, when he conquered us by his word, what did he do? He take that culture away from us. He take that spirit away from us. And he put his spirit inside of us. Amen. Now we reflect another kingdom, another spirit. Amen. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's food and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that to the end they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And let's just continue from that to verse 17. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in learning and wisdom. You see who was the source of the knowledge? You see who was the source of the wisdom? God. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king conversed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Not just that country, but all his realm, mean every nation in the world that was under the Babylonian power, which was the head of gold, ruling the world at that time. And in all those countries, these four boys were 10 times wiser, 10 times more discernment. Understanding is discernment there. That they had than the people, even the great learned astrologers and soothsayers and mediums and wizards and everything else, who knew all the occult sciences and all the mysticism and astral traveling and transcendental meditation and levitation and all these things. These four boys here had such skill, gifted. God endued them with it. All right, look at Daniel 2 now. Daniel 2, verse 14. Because the portion I left out there is where the king dreamed the dream, and he forgot what he dreamt. And when he forgot what he dreamt, he called all the astrologers and magicians and Chaldeans to tell him what he dreamt, and they was real shook up. They say, I mean, first time we ever hear something like this. If you had a dream and you could tell us your dream, you can interpret it. But to tell you what you dream, how on earth are you going to know what you dream to begin with? See? He said, you're asking impossible. Nobody can do that. And he got so mad, he said, man, I'm going to kill all of you. All of you, there's a bunch of waste. Everybody's saying, you know this and you know this and you know the other, and you only know nothing. He said, every man to the edge of the sword. Well, then Daniel and they heard about it. So from verse 14 here, it says, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who has gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired the king that he should give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. See, man had faith in his gift. Wouldn't you say that? He say, here, man, interpretation has come to me. I can't do it for myself, but I link up with omnipotence, omniscience. And what I don't know, since this thing operated me, I stopped relying on my own knowledge, because a gift is to get out of the way and let God operate through you. He says, so I know then that God has done it for our purpose. We believe the prophet message. Jeremiah is the prophet. He's gone off the scene. His words is coming to pass. We see that. We're trying to walk in obedience to the prophet's word. And God give us a gift of wisdom. God give us a gift of understanding. God give us a gift of knowledge and these things. Interpretation of tongues. All these gifts here among the people. He says, you know, so we have faith and everything. Like a shut the mouth of lions. And all these things, he says, no, we're looking for something to happen. He says, you give us a little time here. We don't believe in hocus pocus. We're not going to try to fabricate nothing for you. Give us a little time. We're going to get in the presence of God. We're going to sing some hymns. Go before the Lord in prayer and see how the Spirit is going to move. If God speaks, then you're going to have the answer. And we believe he will. So look at faith here, how they operate. So he answered and said unto Arioch, 15, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made it known to Daniel. Then Daniel went and desired of the king, he would give them time and he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions. It's good to have some good company. See, like I told you just now, you see, we come right within the word here. You're in deep trouble, your life at stake. He said, oh God, let me see. Who does talk to? Don't talk wrong here. This one does talk gibberish. This one does talk all kind of politics. This one only talking sport. This one only talking about the job. This one only talking past experience. This one. He says, look, who is this talking the word? Let me see. He had a good association, wouldn't you say so? He kept himself in good company. Amen. I love that. Amen. That they would desire mercies. See it? Desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Remember that secret thing now? The king don't even know it. And they have to be made sure when we see it, when we get this revelation, we speak it to the man, it takes the man still to confirm what we tell him is the truth. So we have to be sure what we're saying. We only have one chance, because after that is death. So it wasn't a kind of situation, a hit and miss situation. Nobody wanted a hit and miss situation. And Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was this secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. I like that. In a night vision. Vision break in the night time. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Watch when somebody is operating in the supernatural by divine inspiration. Watch when God is communicating his knowledge. Now the gift of knowledge is going to come here. It's going to take a gift of knowledge to reveal what the king wants to be made known, which he himself couldn't retain. He couldn't remember it. So he's going to take a gift of knowledge to bring it out, and he'll take supernatural knowledge. It's not the knowledge you can find in a book, because it's something that is locked up in the man's subconscious. But it didn't leave in the subconscious to come to the conscience. There's a block between the subconscious and the conscience, because the sense of memory can't pick it up. See? So look what happens here. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times and the seasons. Watch the prayer. The prayer is under direct inspiration to what has been revealed. Remember, Daniel saw the image, and Daniel knew what the image meant. Right? How the kingdom's going to fall one after the other, and God will remove kings and set up kings, and how different times and seasons and so on. What? He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and set up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto those who know discernment. I look up the word today in the Hebrew. It's a word called B-I-Y-N-H. I guess I said Bina. If that's how to pronounce it. I could be wrong, but now I spell it here. He knows discernment. He has wisdom of revelation, and that wisdom of revelation brings discernment. He's seeing symbols, but he can start to interpret what he's seeing and apply it into the realm of daily events. You see what wisdom can do? You begin to see what wisdom is that come from above? These are wisdom that come from beneath, but look at the one that come from above. Look how it operates in somebody's life. So then for you to recognize a gift of wisdom, you must know what you're looking for. And when you recognize a gift of wisdom, which is the first gift, you will want to be led by wisdom, because God gave wisdom to his people to lead them. I'll show you in a little while. For leadership. Look. Like I even pronounced that one, but it means deep mysteries. So Daniel is saying, I see a great colossus with a head of gold, chest of silver, ties of brass, and he has stone cold all hands, hit the thing on the toes with iron and clay, dropping the great mountain and so on. He said, what a mystery that is. But you know something? The God who showed that to me even gave me the interpretation. The God who shocked me. And then the thing is, God bring it by a gift of knowledge to begin with. Then he gave me wisdom to interpret it. Then he give me discernment to apply it and lay it out. Now watch. Watch how all these gifts operating at one time in one situation. And when we go through this series, I'll show you how always. It's not like one has this one gift, and this one gift. Like I say, to have miracles and healing, they must have faith. But without faith, without works, is dead. So look. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has give me wisdom and might, power, and has made known unto me. See, revelation, made known by knowledge. Now, what we desire of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. By a word of knowledge, divine revelation, Daniel said, it's been made known to us the king's matter. And I'm going to the king, not only saying, king, you did a dream. And then he said, wait, me. He said, well, wait, no, I didn't think of that. Let me go back and see God again. No. From the time he saw it, he had wisdom now. And we don't have time to go into the part where he talked with the king. I want to read something else. But you will notice how when he talked with the king too. He said, oh king, God make you, he's the head of gold, God make you greater than any man in the world. God bring all kingdoms into you. God made you that Nebuchadnezzar. He even knew, had wisdom, how to talk to the king. How to lay the matter out, and even had wisdom to interpret it. The wisdom can work anyhow. Some people go before people, and they don't know how to approach big people sometimes. And they get in the prime minister's office, and they go there, and they walk, and they talk, and they sneeze on themselves, and then they know how to behave with the king. You say, take him away from here. See? But look at Joseph. Before you come to the prime of the king, you had to shave him. Is that right? Dress him. How to go in there. Exactly right. He's a training thing. Solomon said, a man's gift is bringing the presence of great men. And when you get before people, you have to know to behave like Barabara, Kent, York, and Hillbilly, but yet you stand in front of King George. Talk to King George. Go to this king up in Denmark, talk to him. Go up there to this princess over there in Sweden, talk to her over there about the things of God. Stand with the congressman upshore and talk to him there. Why? Yet when he stood there, he was such a representative of Jesus Christ. He could stand there and reflect Christ to this world. Whether it's to the poor, he could go down the same man could get down there, down the little shack by the train line in Memphis, hold the colored bond, the thing, and begin to pray, and say, Lord, you'll lead your servant out here. He said, I've been in king's palaces, but I've never felt more welcome than a little shack like this. Same man. See? When God has gifted you,
and set you out. You carry about yourself with a certain dignity of the spirit. You don't be slothful and sluggish and hoggish and uncouth and untrained and callous. And no, there's something about you. You see the prophet in the film, how he stand here? You see how he talk to the people when he's interviewed? You see how he stand in the meeting? It's something about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of character, friend. You don't have money to do that, you know. You have a little dignity. You just got a little prayer life before God. Get the revelation of the word to transform your life. Amen. And big people will take notice of you, even though you have an old dress. Just the way you care about yourself. Just the way you speak. Just the way you act. Just the way you sit down. Just the way you speak when you're spoken to. Just the way you rise when you're told to rise. Sometimes people walk in, somebody off and bam, sit on your chair, just so. They've done no job to begin with. They lost everything right there. They don't have to act. No behavior. Get in and say, good morning, sir. They stand until they're told to be seated. Not to conduct themselves. Oh, I tell you, the Holy Spirit trains you, friend. Because why? You're representing the greatest kingdom there is upon the face of the earth. He's ambassador of the greatest king, the greatest personality he is. And he gives you his personality, the character's work. He didn't let you go in your own personality. He take your life away and put his life in you so you can represent him. Oh my, what we ought to be as ambassadors for Christ. And look at Daniel here. How he goes and he speaks that to the king. Let's just drop down to verse 28. Save our time there. But there is a God in heaven, speaking to the king now, who revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king of Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. Discernment of spirit. He interpreted the king alone dreaming. You're saying you were thinking about this when he's in your bed. And God dropped down in your subconscious and your dream reflected what you were thinking. Because you were thinking about kingdoms and kings and what happened in the latter days. You see, that was in your mind. See, when it's upon your bed, what should come to pass hereafter? In other words, your mind was in a prophetic channel. You were studying prophecy, the future, what God for knowledge will be. And he who revealeth secrets, make known to thee what shall come to pass. So in other words, here was wisdom, here was knowledge, here was discernment, here was prophecy. Prophecy, Daniel saw it back and says, I'll tell you what's going to happen right down to the millennium when the stone come and smite this image and rise up and be a great mountain. When the son of David comes to set up his throne on the earth. He said, I'll tell you right now. Right now, we live in this very vision right here. Do you realize that? Since from Daniel time, you see how perfect that gift was? That gift was so accurate. In that one instance, look how much gifts operate right there out of one person's life. But and watch now, he didn't just have a gift. Look at the character come behind it now. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. But for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. He says, so don't look at me as no special man. There's a God in heaven who revealed this. I was only the pipe the water come through. He put the glory back on God. He didn't try to hog the limelight for himself. He didn't try to use it for political motivation. He didn't try to use it for influence. He didn't try to use it to propagate his image. He didn't try to use it for fame or to extract money and make a price off it. He put the glory back on God. He had the life with his gifts. See that? Let's drop over again to Daniel 5. I want to see how wisdom operates. What's your gift of wisdom? Maybe another time we take Solomon and share. I won't have time to get Solomon tonight. Share Solomon with his gift of wisdom. How he had discernment. And then when you see how the gift operates in a person, when you see what it did, when you see what God used it for, when you see the circumstances existed, you're going to know if God is going to use it. He put these things as examples. He put it there for doctrine, for teaching, that we might know how to approach God in a time of need when we need to have his will be made known. See? And when we receive it, how we can represent that God now and give effective witness and testimony even to the heart of a king and a kingdom that there's a real God in heaven, the true and living God. My, I want to be that kind of servant. That's the kind of servant I want to be. You see, friends, that's why I preach the way I preach. I have my convictions. You know, sometimes I'm hardened that, but I see reality. And when I see reality, I see the power. I see how it works. I see how it operates. I see the things that can be wrought, and I know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I know the devil cannot battle against that. It puts a man with feet in a place where he has all things under his feet. He's not guessing. He's not wishing or hoping. He stands with divine authority. He knows what he's talking about. My, verse 10. This was the time now when they had the handwriting on the wall. How many of the Gentile age started with tongues? How many of the Gentile age end with tongues? How many of tongues is a sign of judgment? Exactly. It's in the Bible. See? And the Gentiles just close up because the headstone has come. That smiting stone is here. So this is the time he saw that headstone coming. Is that right? Sure, watch. And the same way it went out with a worship of an image, it's going to go to a worship of an image. Is that right? Same way it had a prophet to read the handwriting on the wall. Same way it had one here to reveal the handwriting on the wall. Is that right? Oh, my. I tell you, I love the word. Now the queen, verse 10, by reason of the words of the king. See, Belshazzar was shaken after he saw that. The Bible says he thoughts troubled him, his joints of his loins was loose, his knees smote one against the other. And the queen said, okay, relax yourself. I remember something. I remember there's a man in this kingdom here. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and a wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Amen. Glory! I could tell you, friends, I could tell you things here tonight will make your head spin. I seen a simple, I could tell you how that unknown language was revealed. I could tell you how them seven trumpets that lay in the Bible, how that came. I could tell you by the same wisdom, and it comes from the same God. I don't have no fear to say, because that is preached around the world. People around the world have received that, because they see it and they know. And it put there even in the book and printed to prove that it's a word there. It can't be broken. I say that for the glory of God. Just to tell you that it's not a historical thing. We are looking at the Holy Spirit. We're talking about everything is here. But can we see how these things work? He says, wisdom like the wisdom of the God was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. See, this man was so full of wisdom. Your father, who is the king of Babylon, take a Hebrew slave and make him king over all these royal-blooded Babylonians. He make him the master. For as much as an excellent spirit, see, not just knowledge alone, an excellent spirit, and knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams and revealing of hard sentences. Like I say, how the prophets of the old soul and the new soul. How you explain that? Is it two soul? See, hard sentences. I always say on one and four, yes, one and four, one pass on the language. Hard sentences. See. And dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought him before the king, and the king spoke and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel? He wanted that Daniel. He hear about a certain Daniel. He wanted Daniel. He said, art thou that Daniel? Who art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? But Abraham said, you know, kings and monarchs don't call for fanaticism. He said, when King George sent for me and this one sent for me to pray for them, he said, no, you know a king won't call for that. Because they send all the spies, the secret service men to check the background. Because why? The whole kingdom at stake if they bring some fraud man inside of there. He'll be a laughing stock of the nation. They check that thing out. When they walked in, they saw that dove flew on the window at King by Florence Nightingale there that time. Is that right?
Sure.
King George never heard about it. He went and prayed for King George too. He said, I put on the coat of John Wesley, the robe that John preached in Westminster Abbey. I put it on and I went and prayed. You know what he was doing? He was identifying himself with the messenger to that nation who had thundered a message because he was one of them seven spirits before the throne. And here was another one too standing there. Amen. And he had to give back witness. And he identified himself where the life had passed through the stalk before it come back into the green. He identified himself with the same apostolic bloodline coming through. And he said, I've even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in thee. And now the wise man, the astrologers have brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation of it. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. No, and I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation of it, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be a third ruler in the kingdom. Watch character now. Watch not just gift now. Watch character now. Then Daniel answered and said to the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. He rebuked him right away, even though he's king. He said, don't try to buy me off. I ain't come here for your money. He said, I'm standing here with a gift that God vindicated and proved to be of God. Oh, my. Let's take one more and we close with that one. Oh, the time is up. But that one is short. It's one verse I think I had written down somewhere. Deuteronomy 34:9. Deuteronomy 34:9, and we close with that by God's grace. So watch how wisdom, that first gift. I took one place in the Bible. We could take Solomon, we could take Joseph. We have different places we could take, but I'm just giving you two that might be established with the amount of truth and two or three witnesses, that you can see how God works these things. He's still the same yesterday and today and forever. The unchanging God, still working in an unspectable way. Amen. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, as the Lord commanded Moses. When they saw Moses lay his hand on Joshua as a sign that he was the one to take over in Moses' place, and that the spirit of wisdom that was in Moses that led the people thus far was coming upon him to anoint him to take the people into the inheritance. Now watch. He didn't say the spirit of interpreting tongues. He didn't say the spirit of just faith. But he had faith that they could stop the sun. Is that right? He had courage. He could fight the battle. He had discernment. He could find that Achan in the camp. Is that right? Sure, he had them things. See? So watch how those gifts. Our friend, look at Daniel under Jeremiah message. Under Jeremiah message, Daniel sat down there reading the prophet's writings and begin to get a revelation from the word that was time to go out. He set himself to praying and fasting, and he began to receive angelic visitations, ministering spirits sent from the presence of Almighty God to minister unto him. Is that right? Coming right to the channel of the prophet's message. And here this man who had faith. Hebrews 11 says he had faith to shut the mouth of lions. Here we see the man had wisdom. The man had discernment. The man had knowledge. The man had interpretation of tongues. Had all these things inside of him operating there in that hour under that prophet's message. In the hour when he knew that the deliverance of the people was at hand. Revealing all those things right there. Look at Joshua under Moses' message. Joshua didn't come and try to take Moses' stick and walk around now and say, well, the people say, we ain't going to believe you unless you have a stick too like Moses, or unless your hand turned to leprosy. Joshua's hand didn't have to turn to leprosy. And God wasn't going to use Moses' stick no more. Joshua had to walk with Moses' stick neither. Yet, the same God that was in Moses, who gave him two signs,
The same God who stood a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. Joshua had to walk around in a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. Yet, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Amen! Glory, could you half catch that? Yet he stood there with his spoken word and stopped you. Sun stands for the moon, hold your place. Yet God opened the Jordan. Yet the people say, we see God as Moses, Joshua, and we're standing behind you. They didn't say, Joshua didn't have to try to mimic a sign in the hand too. Let me tell you, that was a dispensational sign that God gave to a prophet. See? Like Moses in an Exodus time, another Exodus time, sending another prophet messenger who was God to the people. But watch how when Joshua and them went forth there. Look at Elijah. Elijah had to go and call fire out of the sky. And he had to go and call rain out of the sky like Elijah did. And go and repair water and try to mimic that. No. But he believed that. And the Spirit was upon him. And heal a pot here, heal a man here, do things over here, recover a lost accent. It's the same Spirit doing the same thing. And the people who could recognize the same God could approach the gift with confidence. You understand what I'm saying? What are you looking for? A next man to come and do something with their hand? Looking for somebody to come and get something in the mind or something? Throw a rod out and do something? Or looking for a man to walk on a pillar of fire over their head? Could you see how the unchanging God worked for him? Could you see the Bible? When Moses' rod stretched for the Red Sea and spoke up in the Red Sea, now it was the ark, priest with the word. Same God. Elisha, smite the Jordan. God could open the next week still. Same Jordan. Elisha needed an ark and some priest to open that Jordan. No, God could still open it. Elisha opened it too. God in his people, the same God, continuing his works by the same Spirit, operating the same kind of people with the same attributes, showing he's the unchangeable God. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. There should be a real church in this house, man. A real spiritual church. God wants to pour his Spirit. God wants to move in your heart by his word. But God is looking for a surrendered life, an empty vessel, one that could adhere to the word, one that could submit to the word and let the word begin to work inside of them. A life that is could cooperate with the word. Can receive it. And when you receive it into your heart, it begins to govern your life, change your attitude, change your behavior, change your outlook. But when you approach the things of God, you can have reverence, you can have faith, you can have respects. You can respect it. You can speak nicely of it. You can approach it with confidence. You can stand and line yourself up with it. It's the way God wants to do for us. Remember, these things are upon God's faithfulness. God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, that it is impossible for God to lie. We don't have to try to get it out of God. He is faithful. Morning by morning your mercy we see. There is no shadow of turning with thee. All we have needed thy hand have provided. In him there is no variableness or shadow of turning. He's so faithful, friend, is that we can be faithful as he is faithful. So like could fellowship with like. Like could unite with like. You have the same kind of faith. You have the same kind of attitude. You have the same kind of approach. God can greet you. You don't have to be an old man. You don't have to be a middle-aged person. Young children like these here have respect for God's word. They come in the house of God and they hear the word. They respect it. God respects them. Oh, there's so much I could tell you. But we come to the end here.
In the book of Revelation, it says, to him who hath wisdom, let him know the number of the mark of that beast. Prophet says, do you see? It means to say there's going to be a church in the last days that's going to have wisdom. And if the church is going to have wisdom, he said, and the greatest gift will be operated in them. He said, the same way the angel Gabriel came to Daniel to get the people ready to go out, so the spirit of wisdom is going to come into the church to get them ready to go out. Solomon with a gift of wisdom, one man, the people rally around it. You know what it did? In his time, it was the golden age of all Israel. It was the age that typed the millennium, when Christ will come and establish his kingdom. Because the people rallied around something that was so real. They saw it in that respect. They approached it with reverence. But what I'm saying, what it is? To put the word together for us. To lay it out. As David said, Lord, lead me in a plain path. You can see how you're going. You can see where to walk. You can know the approach to God in this hour. You can see what God is requiring of you. It's rightly divided. It's not muddled up. You know what you're looking for. You know what God requires in order to get it. You know the conditions that you must meet. And God will not fail us. The fire of God have never come down upon an empty altar. Christianity is based on sacrifice. And the Bible says, offer yourself a living sacrifice. Lay down your head. He said, you have no thoughts coming. Lay down your feet. Lay down your inwards. And then put your fat with it. Nothing was left for the worshiper. It was wholly, voluntarily surrendered unto God. That might be a whole burnt offering. It might be consumed and be reduced to ashes and go up before God in smoke as a sweet-smelling savor unto him. All it takes is simple childlike faith. All it takes is a heart to say, Lord, I believe that. I believe that's your word. It's preached to me out of the Bible. I don't need to see it in 10 different places. I could catch the inspiration of it. While I sat in the Spirit, this scripture was coming, that scripture was coming. The inside teacher was teaching me while the outside teacher was teaching. I could see how it ties together. Oh God, if wisdom operates like that, then knowledge operates like that, then faith operates like that, then discernment operates like that, what kind of people are going to be? A super church. A super race. See, you see how it was? They walk out of the closet, walk in the presence of the king. King begin to offer this and offer that. He said, I didn't come for you. This is not a commercial. He said, but I'll interpret the right thing in the world for you. I'll tell you what he's saying. He said, you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom shall be taken away from you. Oh, brother, you think it was easy for a man to speak that to a king before all his great celebrities? But he was a prisoner to the word. You know why? He laid in that prophet's message. And as he stayed under the influence of that prophet's word, heavenly being dropped down there to give him skill and understanding, to show him things to come. You know why? He could help get his people ready to go out. Prophet said the same way Gabriel came to him. I have it right here. I don't want to take time to read it. I have it stand up already. He said he's going to be here in the last days, friend. He's going to be among the people because it's spoken in the Bible. There must be a church that has these things in it. But you say, you know why I don't operate? The people are not taught on what they're looking for. And they try to work things through different channels. Watch and see. The word will never, ever fail. It'll be perfect. Everything will be the word. And the character will be behind it. Let us bow our heads, close our eyes, and look to him. And your heart, friend, in the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, where God can give you grace to submit to him, to let go, not to have confidence in the flesh, but to trust in the Lord, not to lean on your own understanding, but to let him be your guide. That same God who gave these things to Daniel and them, if he could have do that to them under the blood of bulls and goats, can't he do it to us under the blood of Jesus Christ? If Daniel could have operate these things
as a man in an age when the baptism of the Holy Spirit had not yet come. What about us, friend? They who were friends of the bridegroom, what about we who are part of the bride? How much greater is our position tonight? Can't we see the availability of these things? God is faithful. You pray in your heart, in your way, what it means to you tonight. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. If it meant something to you, if you see the reality of what we're speaking of, if you in your heart can be a witness to the truth, if you desire to see these things become more predominant in your life, work to the glory of God, if you have a zeal for the church of the living God to see it stand in the place where God says she's going to stand in this hour, and you as a member, you want to sacrifice, you want to separate from everything to live for that, God will honor you. God will honor you. He will honor his word. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will. Father, with bowed hearts, how real is your word tonight, Father? God, taking this little subject, you say, you will not have us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Paul saw an ignorance in the church there. And he began to speak of those diversities of gifts and diversities of administrations and diversities of operations, but how it was the same spirit. And he began to show the members of the body how it worked together in harmony and how these things work for the glory of God to fulfill the cause. And Father, here we are today having this great responsibility of carrying out your word. Lord, you've called us. We realize there's a service that you have in mind for us, dear God. And you want to train us. You want to mold us so the character develop within us. So the Holy Spirit take the gift and mature it inside of us, dear God. Where it can truly reflect you, Father. Your name can be glorified and be admired in all them that believe. And that you can fulfill this great work of faith with power. You promised that for this hour, Lord. Lord, we are believing that tonight. All these that stand here under the effects of the word which have been ministered, the word that has gone forth tonight, Father, let it be a seed falling, O God, into a rich bedding ground of faith, where it's been received, O God, not just being heard, but being received, being accepted, O God, with an amen. Oh God, with a willingness, oh God, with joy and gladness, being watered with prayer and praise, oh God, being brought under expectations, oh God, bringing our lives in subjection, that you might cause us to walk closer and teach us your ways and bring us into harmony with you, Lord. We might learn to love you and wholly surrender to you and become prisoners to your word. There is no retaliation, no resistance to the Spirit. Only cooperation, Lord. Where we can let go so convincingly inside that we wouldn't have no reservations. Oh, God, deal with us in such a way, Father. Well, experience will be a deep one on the inside of the inside. Not just on the surface, dear God, but, Lord, to a place where we can see the responsibility. We can see the sacredness of these things. We can see the reality of these things. We can see the benefit it will be to the body of Christ. We can see, oh God, the glorious working of the Holy Spirit in redeemed sons and daughters, purchased by the blood, born of your Spirit, washed in your blood, Lord, where the Spirit is continuing the very work of Jesus Christ to a many-membered body in this hour. Oh God, let it be, Father. Open our understanding. Let the word be inspired, quicken, Lord. May the Spirit of God teach us, Lord. Engrave it in our hearts with iron pen, as it were. Lord, bring it back to our remembrance in our quiet times. Cause to read over the scriptures, oh God. Lord God, let's be a little more studious, Lord. Let's come to this service with a pencil and piece of paper. Jot down some notes sometimes. Take down some scriptures, Lord. We can follow the Holy Spirit. The things you are trying to attract our attention to, the things you are trying to focus our mind upon, we can pray in relation to the way that you are dealing with us. Even we see Daniel praying under the effects of the revelation that you have revealed to him in that hour.
Oh, my God. Let us learn these things from the scriptures. Let it be applied in our lives, oh God. Teach us to take that word. And Lord God, like Ruth picking up that handful of wheat and going home into her own home and the privacy and in the confines of her home, she beat it out into a loaf of bread. Then she could break that bread and she could share it, oh God. And then she could eat and that bread and be nourished up. Oh God, because you are the corn of wheat. You are the bread of life. You are the very one, oh God. And Lord, we realize that we pick up the handfuls of wheat here tonight. Lord God, we can take it and make it into a loaf of bread. And we can kind of feed upon it, Lord. That can bring rich faith in our hearts. That will cause us, Lord, to live for you. May you grant it, Lord. Bless your people tonight, Father. We thank you for this service. Thank you for your inspiration. Thank you for your presence here. May the Spirit of God just bring that deepness, oh God, of spirit on the inside. Where there's such a joy. There's such a joy bells can ring, oh God. Something to let go, oh God. Something to invite you into a deeper way in our hearts. Something, oh God, to put aside the nonsense and the foolishness, Lord. Something, oh God, to burn the bridges, oh God, and move on forward, Lord. Something, oh God, to lay aside every weight and every sin. Oh God, to see the Holy Spirit moving in our hearts, in our lives, spreading out among us, Lord, flowing out in our homes, in our conversation, wherever we are. Oh God, the Spirit lingering with us, working through us, ministering through us, Lord. Lord, let us see it, Lord, that we might know in reality, surely it is you, Father, bringing your word to pass, the thing that you have spoken. Help us, Lord. We ask these mercies of you tonight in the lovely, lovely, lovely name of our precious Lord Jesus. And Father, as we get ready to go to our homes, as we worship you a little bit, Lord, and then leave, may your Spirit, Lord, go with us. Grant traveling mercies to them who need and take them safely to their homes and grant rest, O God, and tomorrow in the daytime may we find that channel, O God, still open where the Holy Spirit, like Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending, bringing messages. God at the top, man at the bottom, that the man might ascend into a higher order. He might come into the realm of Melchizedek is. Oh, God might come into a holy union with God. Lord, so let these things, Father, let the angels come and minister to us, Lord. Let them bring enlightenment. Let them give understanding, Lord. And let us rise in faith. Rise, oh God, on a higher level, oh God, Father. We can see what the Spirit is doing. May you grant it, Father. And Lord God, should you tarry and allow us life, we come back to the prayer meeting Friday night. We can come under the anointing to pray in the channel. Oh God of the Spirit, dear God. Looking forward, Lord, this is such a moving, a stirring, a troubling of the waters, Lord. That will bring a healing to the souls of men and women. And the angel of the covenant, trouble the waters, trouble the people, oh God. Lord, deal with every heart as you see fit. Father, we ask these things, giving glory and honor unto you, committing each and every one into your hands for safekeeping in the precious, lovely name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Could we all say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let us give our hands and praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How great is our God. We love you. We love you. We worship you, Lord, like Jacob bowing on his staff. He worship you, oh God. Young and old tonight, Lord, we worship you. You are our God, and beside you there is none other, the only wise God, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. He who dwelleth in life and immortality, into which no man can approach. Hallelujah. A blessed and only potentate. We worship you, Father. Great is thy faithfulness. How we love you. How we thank you for your presence. How we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Let's just sing that tonight. Let's get it from our understanding. Let's get into God's holy wisdom tonight. Oh, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Oh, that's what I'm going to do tonight. With all my heart.
Be not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, oh yes, I will acknowledge him, and he shall, I believe he will. I believe he'll order the step of every one of us if we only trust him. Sing it again. Trust him. Oh, would you really, really trust in him tonight? As your brother comes. Trust him, trust him. You may be seated. Trust him. Trust him. And thou shalt find a faith that will understand. Oh, trust. Trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. And lean not to thy own understanding. Oh, but acknowledge it, and he shall guide. Oh, trust him, trust, Lord, you trust him. And thou shalt find a faith that will understand. Trust him, Lord, we trust him.